Good morning, boys and girls. We're turning for the last time, at least in this study, to Hebrews 11. We're going to look at the section at the end of the chapter, the verses 32 to 40. Perhaps I should read that section to you because it's very important. Indeed, preachers ought always to remember that the passage they're going to preach from is more important than what they have to say about it. God's word is always supreme. So let's read from verse 32, please. You follow now. Verse 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect." Well, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Well, as I said, we're coming to the last study in this series. The school year is ending, and soon you'll be out on your holidays, plaguing your mothers and your fathers, but doubtless enjoying yourself. But I hope that you won't forget God's word, and maybe something of what was said in the various assemblies will remain in your heart and cause you to remember the Lord and His mercy. Well, we come to these verses. Normally we just look at one verse, maybe two, in our previous studies, but here we have quite a few verses, and they're going to be the substance of our final study. They are all about Paul condensing what he might say at length about the accomplishments of faith, had he time. He's indicating that he's running out of time. Even Paul ran out of time when he was writing, and preachers do run out of time. But here Paul condenses in this final word on the subject of faith things that he wants us to take into our hearts and mind. In truth, you know, boys and girls, it will take all of eternity for a proper consideration of what has been accomplished amongst mankind by faith. All eternity. It's hard for us to take that in, but for all eternity we will spend our time rejoicing in what God accomplished, and that by faith in the lives of His people. First thing I want you to notice, and here we're looking at the very opening verse, opening words indeed, of this final portion. Verse 32, "And what shall I more say, for time would fail me to tell?" The story of what has been accomplished by faith is too great to be told. Paul says here, look at it, verse 32, "Time would fail me to tell." And then he names some of the characters in the Old Testament. But there's only some of the characters that we know about in the Old Testament, and there were millions more we don't read about. And time is not long enough to tell the story of what was wrought in their lives through faith. In Revelation, now you older ones, take the time to look these verses up. We'll be looking at quite a few. But Revelation chapter 7, there is given to John the Apostle a view. Chapter 7 of Revelation, and it's the verse 9. "After this I beheld." Now John has been taken up to heaven, and he's seeing there some of the things that were taking place. And here's one of the things. "I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, That's how big a crowd he saw. Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, a multitude made up of people from every country and language in the world, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. There they are before the throne, praising the Lord. Who could tell their story? There were so many of them, they couldn't be numbered. So how long would it take if each one of them were to step forward and give their testimony? Here's how I was saved. How long would that take? Well, that's what Paul is talking about in our verse 32. He says, time would fail me to tell the story of those who by faith have obtained God's salvation. How great is the goodness of God? How great are the wonders that he has wrought for his people? How great. And it's noteworthy as we come to the end of our study that we have to stand back and say this. We can't calculate, we can't tell how great have been God's wonders and blessings to us. Then the second thing I want you to notice, and we read the verses, and I hope you took note of something of what it was that was said. And if you did do that, you will agree with me that there is no problem that ever faced a human being from which faith cannot bring deliverance. Did you get that? There's no problem, no difficulty, nothing that we may encounter, any one of us, which faith will not provide an answer to. That's what we're taught here. Because the problems Gideon faced were very different from those faced by Barak, and different yet again from those faced by Samson, and different yet again by all those that are mentioned here. Because each one of us walk a path through life and encounter difficulties that are somewhat different from the person next to us. And each one of you here, if you grow up, you will encounter difficulties that more or less are yours alone. And yet, boys and girls, here's the point. Faith in God, faith in his promises, will bring you deliverance from whatever problems you encounter. Doesn't matter what you run into. Trust in God will bring deliverance. That's what is taught here. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and what he encountered and was delivered from by faith. And of Barak and what it was he gained the victory over, etc., etc. And they did it by faith, by trusting in the Lord. Think of what we read of in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and those who met the Lord Jesus. Was there any two that had the same difficulties, the same problems? But irrespective of what their problems might be, they found the answer in believing in the Lord Jesus and looking to him. He supplied the answer, whether it was a problem of blindness, deafness, dumbness, a crippling disease. It didn't matter. Whatever it was, faith in Christ brought the deliverance they were looking for. Faith in Christ brought deliverance in the most difficult of circumstances. You think of the martyrs perishing in the midst, most of them, in the midst of flames, tied to a post and a fire lit at their feet. A very slow death, a very horrible death. But they gained the victory over that torture by faith in Christ. For they were carried from those flames to heaven. They're in heaven now. They're part of that multitude that we read about in Revelation chapter 7. They're singing praises unto God, unto him who had mercy upon them and saved them. Even though their life ended in such a terrible way, and doubtless, as they were suffering, burning, their enemies rubbed their hands and said, we have got them now. We've done away with them now. But they hadn't gained the victory over the martyrs. The martyrs gained the victory over their enemies, because they're in heaven. Likely their enemies, one and all, are in hell. Who won when we say that? By those who are in heaven. And that was by faith. That was by faith. You remember what you read in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, we have the first Christian martyr. That is the first martyr of this age. And in verse 59 of Acts chapter 7, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." So there's Stephen being stoned, but he's being received into heaven by the Lord Jesus. In actual fact, we read a little further up the chapter that Stephen says, verse 56, "Behold, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." There's a wee word in that verse that's very important. It's the word standing. Because elsewhere you read of Christ seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven. But here, Stephen says he's standing. Why was that? Well, I'll tell you. It's common courtesy when someone comes into your presence and you're sitting to stand and welcome them. And that's what the Lord Jesus was doing here. He was standing. He who is the Son of God, the Creator of all things, stands up to receive Stephen into heaven. Think on that. The King of Kings standing up to receive Stephen. Surely that's victory. Surely that's triumph. And that was wrought by faith. That was wrought by faith. Oh, how wonderful is the story of what is accomplished by faith. For there's no problem, there's no difficulty that you will ever encounter that you will not find the answer to by trusting God, by believing in Him. Then again, though faith in Christ will bring reproach upon you in this world, that's always the case. You listen to me now. You cannot put your faith in Christ and openly own Him without the world picking on you, mocking you, sneering you. And some will find a greater measure of reproach than others. I mentioned the martyrs. Well, that was the ultimate in reproach. They were put to death because of faith in Christ. I trust that you'd never encounter such opposition. But you will encounter opposition if it's only a sneering and a mocking and a laughing. You will encounter it. But even though faith in Christ will bring us reproach to some measure or other, that faith will take us to heaven. That faith will take us to heaven. The road may be bumpy and rocky and uncomfortable to travel, but it's a road that will take us to heaven. Just remember that. Think of the names that are mentioned here. Paul, guided by the Holy Ghost, picks on Gideon. He picks out Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. Each one of them had harsh experiences. If you read the Psalms, oftentimes you see old David in tears because of the opposition he's running into and how he's treated. David is in heaven today. Faith brought him to heaven. Faith brought him through all the problems that he encountered and all the opposition that he met and all the reproach that was heaped upon him. And those who did the reproaching and the mocking and the sneering of David, where are they today? They're not in heaven. Their rejection of David's God has brought them to everlasting damnation. But David's faith in the Lord Jesus took him to heaven. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's a simple expression of his faith. I'm looking to the Lord to shepherd me, look after me, the way a shepherd does look after his flock. And God did that. That faith on the part of David saw him shepherded all the way to heaven. And those who mocked him, laughed at him. Oh, today they're in misery. Misery that cannot be described. It is so, so great. The final thing I'd like to look at with you is this. And I want to press this on you. Here is the hope of all who believe in the Lord Jesus for salvation. And I'm going to set out that hope as it is stated by others in the Bible. If you're saved today, you might find it difficult to express what is the hope within your heart. If I said to you, "Stand up now and tell me the hope that you have," you might be stuck for words. Well, in the Bible we have the words of many who explain wonderfully the hope they have. And you can look at their words and say, "That's my hope." I can join with that person and say, "That's my hope for eternity." And that's why I want to give you these verses, so that you can find expression. And if you're ever asked, "What is your hope?" you'd be able to turn to verses like this and say, that's my hope, that's my hope. Well, let me give you these. You older ones, look it up. Psalm 17. Psalm 17 and the verse 15. Look at what it says. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Are you looking at it? Is that your hope? Have you any idea what those words mean? If you're saved, you know what those words mean. If you're not saved, they'll just be letters on a page. May the Lord speak to your heart today, if you're not saved. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. That's what the Christian can say. I'm going to see the face of God one day. I shall be satisfied when I do that, for I will awaken with the likeness of Christ upon me. How wonderfully this sets out the hope of those who believe in the Lord Jesus. Look at another verse, this Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 19. Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. If you're saved today as a result of trusting the Lord, there is laid up for you goodness, a treasure that cannot be measured. When we think of heaven and those who have gone there, we have great difficulty trying to just imagine what it is they are enjoying. And the difficulty arises because what they are enjoying is so great, so wonderful. It's been prepared by God that makes it beyond our imaginings. This is the hope of one who is converted. Then we turn to the New Testament, toward the very end of it, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, way toward the very end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, and it says, Beloved, now, look at that, now. Does this describe you? Now. Is this what you are? Now. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He, that's Christ, shall appear, when He comes again, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. As a Christian, you know you're saved. You have that knowledge. You have that assurance. But what you don't know is what you're going to be like in eternity. That's beyond our knowledge now. But we do know that we will be like the Lord Jesus. We'll be like Him. Is that your hope today? Is that your hope? Another one, Romans chapter 8. Back a bit. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon, or I count up, I consider, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans chapter 8, and the verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18 then. Paul says, the sufferings of this present time are nothing compared with the glory which is to be revealed in us. That helps us put up with troubles. You're helped to put up with today, tomorrow, the next day, and the next day with the hope you have 2 months of holiday coming along. That'll help you get through this week. Oh good, I'm going on holidays, so I'll be able to put up with the work of this week. And that's the thought here. Paul says, the troubles of this life are not to be compared with the glories that await us. Therefore, we can put up with the troubles and bear them gladly. That's the hope of the child of God. We'll turn to 1 Corinthians this time. Chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians. That's over from Romans. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Here's your hope. If you're saved, you love God. And God has prepared for you that which you can't even begin to imagine. So wonderful. Is that your hope today? Oh, may you not be indifferent to gospel truth. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, another couple of books over from Romans. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Imagine that. In this world, men and women strive to be seen in the company of those they consider great. We all know about selfies, those pictures taken on the phone by those who want to let everybody know, I met so-and-so. There even were times when some tried to get a picture of themselves beside the Queen. Didn't happen very often. The Queen was a lady who didn't indulge in that sort of activity. The royals today sometimes are a little more inclined to do that. So you will find people sticking their head out of a crowd and a camera in front of them and click so that their head's beside the head of the King or the head of the one they call the Queen. And they say, look at this picture. And they'll show it to everybody they know. Look, me, both the King or the Queen. But what does our verse say? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him. That's the hope of the one who by faith is trusting in the Saviour. We're going to be seen with him one day. And it'll not just be for an instant, but forever. Forever. And it'll not just be like the selfie, just the thing of a passing moment. But we will be in communion, in fellowship with Christ forever. Forever. Philippians chapter 3, back one from Colossians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation, that word doesn't carry the meaning in the Bible that it carries today. When we talk about conversation today, we're talking about talking together and chatting together, but it actually refers to the way you live when it's used in the Bible, your lifestyle, the pattern of your life. For our conversation is in heaven. That's how it is with a Christian. They live, attempt to live a heavenly life. Whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Look at that. Are you saved today? Are you saved today? Here is what you are going to look like one day. The Saviour is going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's beyond our imagination, but that's what the Bible says will be the case with the child of God, by faith. That's what's going to happen. Why are you not saved if you're not saved today? Why are you not saved? Why would you turn down such a glorious prospect? It can be yours, simply by trusting in the Lord Jesus. The last verse, bringing before you the hope of the child of God that lies in the future. We'll be like him. We'll be like him. That's what faith is able to accomplish. Take you, marked by sin, many failures, many faults, many flaws, and transform you into the likeness of Christ. Oh, how great is faith. Tell me, boys and girls, I'll ask you this for the last time. This school year, have you faith in the Lord Jesus? Have you believed the gospel? I trust you have. I see a little head or two nodding. That's good to see. But maybe, in truth, if you had reacted to that question, you would had to have shaken your head in a no. God have mercy on you and bring you to faith in Christ. We're bowing in prayer. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that you will take your word today and apply it to heart. How important this matter is, Lord. It's more important than anything else in this world. Lord, may each boy, each girl here today know what it is to be saved. Bring them to thyself in mercy. Bless the school in these closing days of this school year. Do remember the group that travels to London tomorrow. Give journeying mercies, shelter them beneath the blood. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.